many people, including my grandmother and everyone, would say this guy will become monk. People with ambitions work for themselves, and they work very hard. I started working hard for others. We started the NSE that in 11 months, it became larger than the next exchange, which was there for 120 years called Bombay Stock Exchange. This is the first time the circumstances have not overtaken us. We have overtaken circumstances.
Hello and welcome. I'm Anupam Kher. In the ever-evolving landscape of 21st century, the focus now more than ever is on India, Bharat. My guest tonight is an Indian business executive and one of the founding members of National Stock Exchange. He is known as the father of modern financial derivatives. Welcome, Ashish Chauhanji.
Great honor to be in front of you.
You came to this city 39 years back with a small box.
I think all small town boys or even village boys, they start from home with that
small trunk
box.
We used to call it trunk.
I came here to study in Mumbai. That time it was called Bombay.
Yes.
And that was 1985. Mm-hmm. And I think the date was 13 September.
Okay.
It was raining cats and dogs. Mm-hmm. I am from a city called Ahmedabad, which rarely had rains those days.
Right.
And so this rain did not stop for almost 2-3 days. And I came with a dictionary to convert English into Gujarati, which was my language. And I had studied in Gujarati medium till then.
So I went to a school where English was taught in 5th standard. So when I came to this city, I felt that I know much more than what the other person is talking. But because I can't speak in English, so he is or she is able to get more attention. We had only one graduate in our whole family. So I asked him, I said, Chachaji, how do I speak in English? He said, by talking English, deciding. So I decided that from 4 to 6, I will only speak in English. And you were telling me about your family, about your father, about your mother. She was an economist and she did not take a promotion because she wanted to be in Ahmedabad because your father had a traveling job.
Basically, my village is around 30 kilometers from Ahmedabad. Now it's pretty much part of Ahmedabad. Those days, it was still far. And they were from a really, my father was from that village. My mother had stayed in the city and studied. Otherwise, the ladies would not study those days. My father had migrated, although 30 kilometers away was a long distance those days. He was an engineer. He became engineer because, again, by struggling a lot, because they were from a very low strata of society. And then both of them started doing jobs and then they got married. And when I was born, we were in a joint family in one room probably. And so we moved to another rented place near Mahatma Gandhi's first ashram called Kochurab Ashram. It's not the Sabarmati Ashram. Mm.
You are a brilliant man. Academically, otherwise also, I never got more than 38% marks in my life.
Anyway, I was never brilliant and I still am not. I am just a happy-go-lucky guy with no personal interests or no things to achieve. Since childhood, I became slightly religious.
Okay.
Many people, including my grandmother and everyone, would say this guy will become monk when he grows up. I mean, I was a good student, not brilliant, but not very attentive in class. And very naughty. Also, not having any ambitions in life. When I came here to Mumbai, I recall my first hostel day. When you enter, you have to fill in the form saying, what are your hobbies? And I wrote sleeping.
Sleeping?
Yeah. People with ambitions work for themselves. And they work very hard. I started working hard for others. IIT, where I joined for engineering. And I didn't know English. And so, I could converse more with
class 4 hostel, employees.
Yeah, hostel mess workers. And so I started becoming friendly with them. And slowly...
Fascinating.
And slowly I realized that I could at least help in organizing events. I became kind of a guy who started searching for some respect, probably in retrospect. And that's how I became, at least in my mind, respected in organizing things which I didn't do with studies. People like me, we used to call ourselves NASA, that is Non-Academic Students Association. So it took 3-4 years to learn a little bit of English conversation. Of course, I passed out in time, which was like a miracle. And I thought I'm not a good engineer, so I should go for management because I could manage people, at least I thought so. So I gave the exam for IIM, and I also gave exam for the engineering masters because at least one should try to apply everywhere.
Mm.
One principle I always had is that you are prepared or not, whether you are sort of fit or not, you should give every exam. I ended up taking interesting courses, and in that, finance was something which I liked, economics I liked. So I started reading magazines and newspapers and all.
Mm.
And by the time it was time to get a job, I was selected to be in IDBI. There was a financial institution called Industrial Development Bank of India, which is now converted itself into IDBI Bank, but it used to be the largest institution of India those times.
What was that job?
That job was basically to do project financing.
Okay.
Where you finance large
projects.
How old
were you at that time?
I was 23.
Okay.
My first salary was 3,000 rupees. I joined as a management trainee. My bank had bought 1,000 computers, but nobody used it. And I had just come out of the campus. I was used to do a little bit of programming in IID. And those days were just, computers were coming new into India, and my bank, Pingridge, they could buy that. And so in project finance, what you do is you do like a lot of projections for a company, how much they will do in next quarter or after 5 years or after 10 years. So you do like millions of calculations to come out with a report. I would program them in those days called Lotus 1-2-3. Now it's similarly called Excel
sheet.
I would do a little bit of putting it.
On
it was not
computer.
Programming, but just put it in the computer and take it to my boss. And he would think, why did you come, boss? You come after a month, but he can't tell you.
Uh-huh.
So he would say, okay, change this parameters by 5% or this 2%.
He'll keep you busy.
Yeah. So he thought he would keep me busy for next 1 month. Instead, after 5 minutes, I'll go back and give it to him. Saying now this is, and he will take his calculator, and after 5 minutes, he'll try to find mistakes, but there won't be any mistake.
And when did this stock exchange?
So what happened is I was doing all this. It was fun learning, financing power projects, going into power plants, checking out how much this screw costs or how much this boiler costs and how it works.
Mm.
Being an engineer and MBA, it was like very exciting to finance and see the projects coming up and go to collect funds back, which nobody wanted to pay back once they take the loan. And we were all trading in stock markets those days because India was liberalizing. Harshad Mehta days were on.
Yeah, 1991.
And then my salary was 3,000 bucks. And I had like, because when you're young, you think you know a lot.
Mm.
So I had also taken more positions than I could handle.
Mm.
So when due to Harshad Mehta's scandal coming out, the market fell, and I think lost 50,000 bucks.
Mm.
And so again, I had nothing, no savings, but now losses of 50,000.
It's quite a bit at that point.
Quite a bit those days, right? So at that time, the government decided that they need to set up a completely new exchange, which is automated and all computerized and all. And India had very few computers then, but the vision of India was like very big. India was liberalizing. And so they told my bank, IDBI, to set up the new exchange called National Stock Exchange. And what I have been told as a story is that they selected the 5 best people they had. And one of them dropped out, saying that this stock exchange run by bureaucrats doesn't work. And he had a reputation also. So he had a reputation to protect and also ambition. Finally, they wanted to select a guy who will not be able to say no. So I was just 1 year into the job, no clue. Whatever they wanted, I did. And whatever they didn't want also, I did. So that's where they said, okay, this boy looks good. He's an engineer and he doesn't know the politics. So they put me into that team of 5 people. Finally, we started the NSE, that in 11 months, it became larger than the next exchange, which was there for 120 years called Bombay Stock Exchange. 98, 99, I realized organization didn't have a plan for me. So I need to leave. I also got a call from Reliance Group saying, we hear that you are giving interviews. So if you want to join and start something on your own, we will fund you. And then they launched their wireless telephony using a technology called CDMA. And then they had this new shiny small little mobile phones from LG and Samsung. And they started selling. And they had like 15 million customers in less than a year. Those days, mobile telephone would cost you 16 rupees a minute for incoming and outgoing both.
Yes.
Those were the days, and there Mr. Ambani launched it with like 20 paisa.
Possible for everybody.
Yeah, and it brought down the cost of telephone on everyone's hand by 95, 98, 99%, something like that. Problem was that the billing system was not correct. So people bought the phones, they used it like hell, but nobody was getting correct bills. And so nobody was paying the bills, and then company was going in losses. Because I was there for reasonable time, I knew what were the issues. He backed me up to the hilt, and I could solve the problem in 6 months. So company which was making huge losses started making huge profits in 6 months' time.
Did you have any particular, again, I will talk about dream, that this is what I want to become? You were just going through life as it was happening to you.
I'm now on the board of governors of IIM Calcutta, where I studied. I'm also on advisory board of the School of Management at IIT Bombay, where I studied. Both gave me Distinguished Alumnus Award. And then the government made me Chancellor of Allahabad University, University of Allahabad, which is one of the oldest.
When was that?
That was in 2021.
How are we doing economically?
What is in favor of India is basically the demographics. Mm. It's young people. And if you see, yeah, India is probably 30 years average age. Mm. China has become suddenly old because of the one child policy. Mm. Japan is old. Europe is old. America will become old if other people don't go. There are many reasonable size large countries with young population, even our neighbors. Mm. But by quirk of fate, we became very, very technology savvy. NSE was literally the first public infrastructure project, which was IT. It became successful, and it gave that confidence to Indians and other people who were giving work to Indians, saying, these guys do such large work, millions of transactions, and they can manage this, they can manage our work. That's why when Y2K came, India did well. But over a period, India became very, very tech savvy. So we are young in demographics, and we'll remain young for next 40, 50 years. The third part is, where does the wealth get created? Who creates the wealth? The wealth gets created basically by people who create new technologies or adapt to new technologies and use it for sort of making life easier. This new prime minister comes, and he is aware that even rural India is now mobile oriented. And he allowed 4G to come in, 5G to come in fast. He also created this Jan Dhan Aadhaar mobile framework, basically using IT to a level where literally today 650 million new people have joined Indian banking system. In first year alone, the Jan Dhan Aadhaar mobile people were forced to open accounts using their mobile phones. And first year itself, there are 300 million accounts. 300 million, if it was a country, it would be in probably top 7-8 countries in the world, right? Yeah. And that type of zeal, enthusiasm, that type of execution he could do with people because of his personal brand or his personal credibility with that young person or even an old person who is opening her account. And then he started giving the subsidies or what they call social security in other countries into that lady's mobile phone, which she can use instantly.
Amazing.
And for me, that technology savviness, there is no other country in the world which is even remotely similar situation. So when the COVID came, you might have recalled Cowin, right? There was an application which all of us had to take the appointment on the mobile phone.
Yes.
But how did the person sitting in Ladakh do that? He also took the same appointment for himself and his family using the same phone as you and me. Mm-hmm. And when he went there to the hospital at that appointed time, he was given the vaccine. Because India did not have one vaccine. No. It had two vaccines, right? Yes. He got vaccine developed also. Mr. Modi got even vaccines developed.
Yes.
But that's a different story.
Yes.
But just the pure technology, the information technology was such that the vaccine also reached in time for him to come and take his action. He was given exactly the same vaccine he had taken earlier.
Correct.
And he would get that vaccine certificate. You take a look at how America issued. They used to give paper certificates. People who had not even taken vaccines were moving.
Yes, I was in America at that time, and that's what was happening.
So for me, he changed India's perspective on how to use the IT for corporate, I mean, for the governance part of it. And in a scale which nobody had even visualized that India could do so much. But he had that confidence. And for me, last 10 years have been so good in terms of we are basically increasing our services exports. That is basically IT and BPO, what we call business process outsourcing services.
Mm.
Sitting here, our boys and girls are servicing the rest of the world.
Mm.
Can you imagine during COVID, when he declared that lockdown of 70 days?
Yes.
He didn't say 70 days, right? He said lockdown will be there from tomorrow, right? You know what was the worry we had?
Yes.
Is that the rest of the world will close down if India closes, because every large bank, every large retail company, every large anyone in the world, either in Europe or US or Australia, wherever, their back offices are here. If people don't go to office,
right,
they will close down. The banks will run out of money.
Yes.
People will run out of food in the retail stores. Given his credibility, he stopped it. People knew that he's doing for their own good. And people started working from home. And India became work from home overnight for rest of the world.
Yes.
And India did so well that it did so well for itself, but it did it for the world.
For the world.
It ran the world without anyone's knowledge. That India would have got a very bad name if he had not been able to run the rest of the world's back offices.
Yes.
Right? And so for me, the amount of confidence that has now world has, even during that period, we also fought a war, you recall, in northern part of India with China. Nobody came to our help.
Yeah.
Right? We won that war also. We also won the war against COVID. And we basically also ensured without a whimper as a country that we service the rest of the world. And that has increased confidence so much that today our services exports and our remittances are the two largest amounts we are receiving. And they don't require too much of imports, because when you do refining, you bring the crude oil and send the petrol and diesel back. So you get probably $10-$15 a barrel only of the refining margins. But when you service somebody sitting here, hardly any imports is there. So what you get is actually for you to help your oil imports and other things. So that's where India today, in the first time in my sort of life where I started understanding economics, is that this is the first time the circumstances have not overtaken us. We have overtaken circumstances.
How brilliant.
Right?
How brilliant.
I mean, in my childhood, I used to read that there are people dying of starvation in Kalahandi.
Yes.
When COVID happened, again, second worry I had was that if large part of India used to earn and then eat. And I had that worry, and many of us had worry that if we don't send the food to people who are locked down, what will happen? Mr. Modi ran trains full only of, because in travel was not allowed, full of grades across India. It reached everyone. And there, he created a framework for feeding 800 million people free of cost, social security in a different way. People still tell me that how come we have become rich if you have to feed 800 million people every day continuously. For me, this is social security. In America, you go, if you are poor, you get food coupons, you get house allowance, you get oil allowance. It's not that America doesn't give. It's just that we have large number of poor, but you have taken care of their existential problem. From a country which was having starvation to death 40, 45 years back, today, you are actually having no starvation. You are actually feeding everyone tremendous amount of nutrition every day. Boss, we have become rich. We have become rich, and it was here in our mind.
Right.
It was, we are not doing it well. This person comes and he teaches us how to do it, right? So for me, 10 years, why India's stock has improved, you go anywhere in the world. Today, even at the immigration counter,
you're an Indian.
Right? Yeah. There is a respect today.
Yeah,
right?
I have observed,
I mean, I've been traveling abroad from year 1993 onwards.
Right.
And that time, people would tell me that speak in English in America, because they were trying to denigrate you, you know?
Yes, yes.
And today, it's a different world, right?
Yes.
And in some ways, what we have achieved in last 10 years as a society, we have achieved it together. One of the worst periods of human history was from 2020 March to 2022 March. That is the COVID period. Last 100 years, there was no such thing.
Yes.
But India stood firm. I'll tell you the difference between a Pakistan, a Bangladesh, a Sri Lanka, and India post-COVID is Narendra Modi. managing fiscal deficit, providing food to everyone, taking care of their house, even giving them some money in their mobile phones every month for oil and other things. And they're still not going bankrupt. Otherwise, you see, we are not very different. In fact, they were richer than us. Bangladesh was richer than us. Today, they are having a serious issue on the balance of payments.
Right.
Pakistan has gone bankrupt. Right? Sri Lanka went bankrupt. And why I'm telling you this is we don't realize. We think it is our right. And once we select a prime minister,
it's his duty. Yes.
Yeah, his duty, and we have to just enjoy and criticize. Right? But what has happened is not something that would have happened in normal circumstances, right? This is where the hard work, the common sense, the capability to execute comes into play, right? And I mean, every box has been ticked so well that we not only created vaccine for ourselves, we sent it to rest of the world, right?
World, yes.
Why a prime minister of a country comes and touches feet of Mr. Modi?
Absolutely.
Right? Because you have done something for him. It's not, no other person would do that, right?
Right.
It's the respect to the country. Yes. It is respect to India, right? I have not seen that period of 10 years where India's stock has gone up so much.
Right. So, where do you see India in 2047 when we complete 100 years?
Who creates wealth is only technology.
Yes.
Society surrounds it.
Yeah.
And whoever, whichever society adapts to technology will create wealth compared to others, but the technology waves are coming faster and faster. So, which means the wealth also is going to be created faster and faster.
Right.
Industrial revolution created more wealth than it was created 10,000 years before that.
Right.
Just those 300 years created more wealth than what was created 10,000 years before that. Next 50 years will create more wealth than that has been created in last 10,000 years. And with India, 18% of world population, around 21-22% of world's young population, will contribute at least 30% of the new wealth that is going to be created in next 25 years, next 50 years. On a 7-7.5%, 8% growth, which is what we have done over last 7 years, barring say, COVID. In last 10 years, barring COVID, we have done 7-7.5%. And even now, we are doing it that numbers. If we just project it today at around $4 trillion economy, because what numbers you have are actually 1.5 years old. So, we are close to $3.84 trillion economy. By 2047, we'll become almost $30 trillion of in terms of the US dollars. In purchasing price parity, we are already close to $15 trillion. But just the pure trade numbers, we are $4 trillion. And who will create that wealth? The youngsters.
Youngsters.
And how that wealth will be created. That's where the modern technology allows you to create wealth by investing much lower amount than what was possible earlier. You had to earlier create large factories. Today,
no, you don't have to do that.
So what I call it capitalism with very little capital.
Right.
And many people get funded from venture capital, from private equity. That is good. They require a lot of capital and probably they don't require, but at least they can spend. But there are youngsters in India who are creating small little companies. They put in a lot of brains and they don't have capital. Exchanges in India now provide you and me to invest in those young people's ideas in through
startups,
small and medium sector enterprises where hundreds of them are coming to the markets, raising even 2 crore, 5 crore rupees for their business. And some of them will become tomorrow's Infosys or tomorrow's Wipro, which also did not have that type of capital. For me, the technology will remain. Those companies will come and go.
Yes.
But the society which uses technology more innovatively, adapts to it. So, newer waves are coming. Artificial intelligence is coming. Drones are coming. Robotics is coming. Genetic modification is coming. India is the place where most of the research happens. Most of the things that happen today, which are good for the future of the world, are happening in India. We are now the fourth largest stock market in the world. We have now market capitalization of $4.3 trillion US after America, China, and Japan. India is the fourth largest market cap having country. We have 85 million people uniquely registered with this, separate PAN numbers. 85 million people is 8.5 crore people, out of which around 50 to 60, that is 5 to 6 crore people, are households. head of the family or somebody is investing.
Right.
That is 17% of India's population investing. We are still poor country.
Hmm.
We are still, by dollar terms, we are, of course, having good social security now. Even insurance is coming for people. Pension is coming. Atal pension.
Hmm.
Ayushman Bharat. All these are coming, right? They will have some initial hiccups, but slowly we will make it big. We'll make it good.
Hmm.
But imagine a poor person investing in other poor person's business who is never going to meet.
Hmm.
A person sitting in Srinagar, a person sitting in Dibrugarh, in Jorhat, is investing her hard-earned money in a company sitting in Salem, in Tamil Nadu. She is never going to visit.
Hmm.
But she has a complete confidence that that entrepreneur, which she is putting her 1,000 rupees, $10, whenever he makes profit, that tiny share of her profit will reach her. Such a great leap of faith.
Wow.
Right? And for me, that's why I call it India has become a very trustful nation.
Mm.
Not many countries are very trustful of each other. We have become very, very trustful. Right? And that is where a country which trusts each other, country which adapts to technology, country which is young, country which can explore, country which has now exposure, country which has now a reputation of doing great things, will do much better than what I'm predicting in next 23 years, but also next 50 years. Because I think we have a chance to become rich before we become old. China became middle income country and it became suddenly old.
Old.
We have that chance to become rich before we become old as a country.
It's really been very inspiring speaking to you, Mr. Chauhan. It's really very educative. I've learned so many things. And I can say it on my show that it's been one of the most inspiring episodes that we have done. Thank you for watching. Join me next week for another intimate yet engaging debate. And let's talk Bharat with Anupam Kher. Namaskar.